How U.S. banks are exposed like some old unsteady Greek pillars.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Chiotakis. A possible second bailout for Greece is still being hammered out in Europe since last year's big rescue package failed to pull the country out of its debt crisis. Now, a fresh report shows just how vulnerable U.S. banks might be to the ongoing crisis. Joining us live on this, Marketplace's Amy Scott. Good morning.
Morning, Bob.
Amy, how did U.S. banks get so tied up in European finances?
Well, it's the way the global economy works. You know, banks lend to other banks. They're all sort of tied up together. And according to the Bank for International Settlements, which is a group of central banks from around the world, U.S. banks have $41 billion in actual and potential exposure to Greece. That is in the form of loans and other financial transactions. And it makes the U.S. second only to France in that department. U.S. banks are also heavily exposed to other troubled economies like Portugal and Ireland.
So if Greece or any of these countries were to default on their debt, how worried should we be?
Well, I asked a banking consultant, Bert Ely, that question, and he says that banks have hedged against that risk, so it's not likely to drive any of them, you know, out of business. But he says the bigger concern is the impact on the global economy.
If these debt defaults lead to a substantial slowing of economic activity, then, you know, that just has a slowing effect on the global economy, and that feeds back into the U.S.
And that's at a time when we're learning our own economy isn't, of course, recovering as fast as many thought.
Uh-huh. Marketplace's Amy Scott, thanks.
You're welcome.
This weekend, a deadly horse virus continued to force cancellation of horse shows across the country, including one event known as Cutting. And as Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports, that's cutting into millions of dollars in earnings.
Sharon Tullis from Hermiston, Oregon, has been cutting for more than a decade.
Cutting is where you go into a herd of cattle, and the object is to pull a cow out, and you are judged on how well your horse works the cow.
It's big business. About $40 million in prize money is handed out every year. But since April, a highly contagious virus has killed 12 horses and caused a nationwide shutdown of cutting events. Brad Smith is the president of the Washington Cutting Horse Association.
There are a number of shows in different disciplines being canceled, so it's had a substantial impact.
No rodeos have been called off, but they're taking precautions, says cutter Sharon Tullis.
Canceling one of these rodeos would be like canceling, you know, an NFL football game. It's just not as easy as it is to cancel a horse show or a cutting.
Cutting events are scheduled to resume in mid-June if the virus is contained. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Not much improvement in the numbers. London's up a fraction, but Frankfurt's off 0.25%, and Paris is down 0.67%. Wall Street will kick off from a 2% slide last week. Investors haven't been able to get their heads out of the dark clouds for five straight losing weeks now.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Fed Chair Ben Bernanke speaks in Atlanta this week, and it seems likely he'll touch on last week's sorry job numbers that made one group especially antsy, teenagers. Fewer and fewer are finding jobs. Tracy Samuelson reports.
Meet a frustrated job seeker.
My name is Benson Hu. I'm 16, and I'm from Queens, New York.
Benson is finishing his junior year of high school and would love to work at a museum this summer. He's also applied for jobs through a New York City program for teenagers. So far, no luck. Same as last summer. And the summer before that.
It seems like every other, you know, job application is based on, like, a lottery or just a random pick, especially for, like, kids my age.
This summer is the worst labor market for teens since the government started tracking them at the end of World War II. Only a quarter of the 17 million kids aged 16 to 19 will find summer jobs. That's according to a recent report by the Center for Labor Market Studies at Northeastern University. a lot of the summer jobs once held by teens simply aren't available anymore.
What we've gradually done is moved young people away. We took it from the gas station, we took it away, grocery store. The average person in grocery store is packing your groceries, somebody 55, 65 years old. So a lot of the basic jobs that we gave to young people, you know, we've kind of reoriented work and taken it away from them.
Andrew Sum co-authored the Northeastern study. He says tough times have drawn older workers into the market for permanent part-time positions. Employers would rather hire them than train new kids each summer. So teens simply aren't getting a start in the working world. Professor Sum says that has implications beyond August. Things like juvenile delinquency, teen pregnancy, high school attendance rates, and even future earning power.
The more you and I work throughout our teens, the more you and I are going to work when our early 20s. We'll not only work more, but we'll get better paid.
In Queens, Benson knows it's a tough labor market for everyone, not just him. But that doesn't make it any easier to face the same struggle year after year.
Well, I'd say up until now, I have a lot of patience. I just hope it doesn't run out.
Any job would be better, he says, than doing SAT test prep for the third summer in a row. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Finally, from the Marketplace Karma Desk, a retired Florida couple spent the weekend celebrating what their lawyer calls sweet justice. When Bank of America foreclosed on their house, they insisted they'd paid cash for the place and never took out a mortgage. They took the bank to court and won. But no, that wasn't the sweet justice part. The court ordered Bank of America to pay their legal fees. And when, after 5 months, B of A still hadn't coughed up the money, the lawyer got sheriff's deputies to accompany him to the local branch in Naples, Florida, and foreclosed. He threatened to load up a moving truck with furniture, computers, and any cash in the drawers. After an hour of nervously negotiating, the B of A manager cut a check to pay up in full, almost $6,000. A reader who posted a comment on the Naples News website seems to sum this all up. Every time I read this story, it brings a tear of happiness to my eye. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
California is trying to come up with a plan to fix its overcrowded prisons. There's talk of shifting some inmates from state prisons to county jails, but that costs money.
If the funding is not approved, L.A. County cannot provide the necessary beds for the transfer of these inmates.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Arrested plans next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.